الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله يقول الله جل وعلا في كتابه الكريم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أعاذنا الله وإياكم منها أجمعين الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد. Dear brothers and sisters, dear elders, this is the day of Eid al-Adha, also known as Al-Eid al-Kabir or the Great Eid. Eid al-Fitr is often seen as the most festive of the two Eids. And that is largely because of the communal nature of Ramadan, where we fast and pray together. But this Eid that we are gathered at is called Al-Eid al-Kabir, or the Great Eid. Why is this Eid called the Great Eid and not Eid al-Fitr? It is because this Eid, Eid al-Adha, is a celebration of the essence of freedom. It is a celebration of the essence of freedom. It is a celebration and a commemoration of the sacrifice of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim's life and his sacrifice reflect the pursuit of true freedom. Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, Khalilullah, the intimate friend of God, he sought freedom and he called his people to true freedom, and he sacrificed for freedom. Allah Ta'ala tested Prophet Ibrahim in various ways. He was tested by his people. He was tested by being cast into a fire. He was tested by the oppression of Nimrod. He was tested by having to migrate multiple times. He was tested by moving part of his family to the valley of Becca, as it was known back then, and leaving them there. And in all of these tests, dear brothers and sisters, Ibrahim alayhi salam was brought closer and closer to the full expression of freedom, hurriya. He sought to liberate his people, to bring them freedom, hurriya, to free them from the bondage of idol worship, of putting their submission and hope from inanimate objects to the creator of everything. He sought to free them from ibadat al-ibad ila ibadati rabb al-ibad, to the worship of creation, to the worship of the creator. He brought them freedom and called them to freedom through worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we all know that Ibrahim alayhi salam, despite his call to freedom, his people rejected his call. And instead, they tried to kill him by placing him inside of a large fire. But as we all know, Allah Ta'ala foiled their plans and said to that fire, "Kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim." Be coolness and tranquil for Ibrahim. So the fire was made cool for Ibrahim, but it burned the ropes that they used to tie him up, so he was able to get free. So he sought more freedom by migrating away from his people so he could worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala freely without hindrance. Ibrahim alayhi salam went through another trial when he was shown a dream in which he was sacrificing his son Ismail. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about this that it was bala'un mubin, it was a clear test. Allah ta'ala also tested Ibrahim with words. Allah ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَإِذِ بِتَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَرِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنْ. When Allah tested Ibrahim with words and he fulfilled them. So Allah tested him with certain words. And these words were the commands of Allah. They were the manasik, the rites of Hajj. And they were the words telling him to call humanity to the worship of Allah Ta'ala alone. He was tested in multiple ways. But what did he do? Allah says in this verse, فَأَتَمَّهُنْ, he fulfilled them. And when he fulfilled these words, when he passed these tests, Allah says, قَالَ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. He says, I will make you an imam for the people. And Allah describes him elsewhere in the Quran that he was an ummah, he was a nation unto himself. Allah Ta'ala took him through stages of tests and trials and through sacrifice. And passing these tests, Ibrahim alayhi salam attained true and full freedom, hurriya. And I keep mentioning this word freedom, hurriya. And we know that this word freedom today is a very loaded word. And the modern conception of freedom is very flawed. Because the contemporary conception of freedom is one of absolute autonomy and self-determination, where the person says, I am at liberty to do whatever I want. I am at liberty to choose what meaning I will pursue in life, and I can do whatever I want. The contemporary understanding of freedom, however, is arbitrary, because in the contemporary understanding of freedom, it places all objects of desire on an equal ground. It is arbitrary. Everything that one desires is equally valuable, even when some things are valuable and some things are very dangerous and disastrous. And that is not true freedom. Dear brothers and sisters, true freedom is only found in the one who does not submit or bow to any power other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. True freedom is in breaking all of the shackles and the fetters that bind us and restrict them. True freedom, dear brothers and sisters, can only come about through the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam, which is the way of sacrifice and self-mastery. Freedom, hurriya, is only through sacrifice and self-mastery. People who have not sacrificed, people who have not achieved self-mastery, will always choose their impulses and instant gratification. And they will become enslaved to instant gratification, and they will become unfree. They will become enslaved because they are rendered incapable of pursuing higher spiritual goals. They're unable to go beyond their physical desires and their passions. Someone once asked Imam al-Junayd, rahimahullah, what is freedom? What is hurriya? And Imam Junayd said, you can taste freedom when you are free from all of the bonds other than servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The truly free are those who are free in submitting to their Lord. The truly free are those whose actions, whose beliefs, and whose principles are in harmony with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded. Those who have subjected their egos to submit to the higher power, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The truly free are those who are free from bondage to their desires and their bad habits. But how many of us think that we are free when in actuality we are enslaved, enslaved to vices and bad habits? And when the heart sets itself upon objects of desire, upon vices and sinful habits and negative actions, they can never taste true freedom. They can never have true freedom until they free themselves from everything that shackles them and binds them to their lower passions. It has been said, a good man, though he is a slave, is free. But a wicked man, though he is a king, is a slave. This is because when a person is enslaved to his vices, his desires, and his bad habits, he has as many masters as he has vices. The more vices he has, the more sins he has, the more bad habits he has, the more masters he has. So true freedom, dear brothers and sisters, is a function of our moral state. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Quran of this reality. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. Have you seen the one who takes his passions as his God? If you have a dozen vices, bad habits, and sinful desires, you have a dozen masters, and you are in bondage to your nafs, to your ego. And if you are in bondage to your ego, you are not truly free. For every haram habit a person has, they have a master. Some may have a dozen, some may have 20, some may have 100 masters. For every haram desire, they have a master. For every haram desire that we refuse to give up, we have a master. For every negative social trend that we blindly follow, we have a master. And the irony is that people think they are free by exercising these desires. They think they are free when they are enslaved to dozens upon dozens of masters in the form of haram desires and sinful habits. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our liberator who brought us true freedom, he warns us when he says, تَعِسَ عَبْدُ الدِّنَارِ وَالدِّرْهَمْ وَالْقَطِيفَةِ وَالْخَمِيصَةِ إِنْ أُعْطِيَ رَضِيَ وَإِنْ لَمْ يُعْطَى لَمْ يَرْضَى. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, perished is the slave of the dinar and the dirham and the qatifa and the khamisa, thick and nice, soft, fancy garments. For if he is given, he is pleased, he's happy. Otherwise, if he's not given, he is dissatisfied, he is discontent. He called those people servants, slaves to those things. Not in the literal sense of salat and sujood and dua, but servants figuratively because they are enslaved to their passions. And this insight that we have as many masters as we have vices has been understood and has been reverse engineered and used against humanity. And we see this in the world around us today, in the weaponization of desires to create masters out of men's vices so they become more easily controlled by the powers that be. Desires are marketed through careful algorithms and brought to us through advertising and brought to us through social programming, making it harder for us to obtain true freedom. Those who want you to be weak through submission to pleasures and vices are happy when you pursue desire as your highest aim in life. And by doing so, you become enslaved. Thus we understand, dear brothers and sisters, that true freedom requires sacrifice and self-mastery. It requires the conscious giving up of things that the lower self wants, those things that bring us down and make us distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what is so emblematic in the story of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. Because his story is the story of true sacrifice for true freedom. He did not have to sacrifice vices for this freedom, but he had to sacrifice in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was shown a dream in which he was to slaughter, sacrifice his beloved son Ismail. And Ismail alayhi salam was a willing participant in this sacrifice. For when his father conveyed the dream, he did not object. He says, إِفْعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرْ. Do as you are commanded. سَتَجِدُنِي إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ. You will find that I am among the patient. And before that sacrifice happened, Ismail submitted, and it was replaced by a heavenly ram. A ram descended from Jannah itself, and that ram was sacrificed, and thus freedom was attained through this sacrifice. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. Dear brothers and sisters, when we truly live our purpose of existence, we achieve liberty, we achieve freedom. Because true freedom is the freedom to express and live out our true nature and the reason of our existence. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ Allah says, I have not created mankind or jinn except to worship me. Consider freedom by looking at your body. Consider your arm. This arm that you have, its purpose is to operate in certain planes of motion, in tandem with your hands and your other limbs. To have freedom in your arm is to have freedom of movement where it's not impinged. If you injure your arm, if you injure your shoulder, your arm is impinged. You do not have full freedom of movement for which it was created. There's an impingement. So true freedom is when something operates in its natural range of motion. So when we fulfill our purpose of existence, which is to worship and know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we achieve liberty, freedom from whatever impinges on our true purposeful movement of the soul. In Arabic, the activity of freedom, when you act upon freedom, it is called ikhtiyar, which we translate as choice. And internally, that condition is called hurriya, or freedom. And look at the beauty of the Arabic language. The word ikhtiyar is to make a choice. But it's not a choice between all sorts of different alternatives, but it is a choice between good and bad. And that is because the word ikhtiyar is coming from the word khayr, meaning good. So our ikhtiyar, our free choice, is really a choice between what is good, what is better, and what is best. A choice of what is bad, of two alternatives, is not really ikhtiyar. It is called dhulm. It is called oppression, wronging our soul. So freedom is to act on one's real and true nature and what it demands. So as we gather on this day of Eid, Al-Eid al-Kabir, to celebrate freedom through sacrifice, we have to understand this reality of freedom. It is celebrating the gift of true freedom through submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and celebrating the passing of tests and growing stronger and freer through passing those tests. We have to ask ourselves, therefore, how free are we? Are we truly free? Are we facing tests and passing them, or are we failing them? It is never too late, so we must seek freedom, dear brothers and sisters. Let us free ourselves from all things that distance us from our true purpose. Vices, distractions, sins, bad habits, indifference, heedlessness, dunya, shaitan, passions, false desires, and the ego. This is one of the reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said about the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَيَضَعُ عَنْهُمْ إِصْرَهُمْ وَالْأَغْلَالَ الَّتِي كَانَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ He removes from them the shackles and the fetters and the things that were impinging on their true freedom, impinging on them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made Rasulullah our liberator, the one who brought us true freedom, if only we grasp it. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. May Allah liberate us and allow us to celebrate freedom through sacrifice and self-mastery. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وبعد الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد. Dear brothers and sisters, how do we attain true freedom? It is through sacrifice and self-mastery. When an animal is sacrificed, whether on this day of Eid or any other day, we know that we say at the time of sacrifice, Bismillah Wallahu Akbar. In the name of Allah, Allah is the greatest. This is the day of takbir, the day in which the takbir dominates the prayer and dominates the khutbah. A very simple phrase that we say every single day, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar is a superlative. It is tafdeel, meaning Allah Ta'ala is greater than all things. Huwa akbaru mimma siwa. He is greater than all things other than himself. He is greater than the cosmos, greater than the heavens, greater than the earth, greater than everything else. And on this day of Eid, we remember this takbir not as an empty phrase that we repeat on our tongues, but as a reality, a meaning that is embedded in our heart. Allah is greater than everything. Allahu Akbar, He is greater than our worries. Allahu Akbar, He is greater than our anxieties. Allahu Akbar, He is greater than our sins. Allahu Akbar, He is greater than our possessions. Allahu Akbar, He is greater than our aspirations. Allahu Akbar, He is greater than this dunya and all things. كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ وَيَبَقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. Everything on this earth perishes, and Allah Ta'ala is greater. But how many things keep us in bondage? How many things keep us unfree? They distract us and pull us away. We may neglect our obligations, whether they are the rights of Allah Ta'ala that He has upon us, or the rights of other human beings. And that is because our ego and the glitter of the world tell us that other things are greater than Allah Ta'ala. But that is a lie. That is a lie of shaitan and a lie of the ego. Allah Ta'ala says that shaitan promises us nothing but delusion, ghurur, and his plot is weak. إِنَّ كَيْدَ الشَّيْطَانِ كَانَ ضَعِيفًا. His plot is weak. However, we are also weak. وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. Mankind was created weak. So the requirement to attain true freedom is not to be maghroor, to not be deluded by our nafs, our ego, or by shaitan, to not fall for the illusions of smoke and shadows that surround us. When we look at the life of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, we see that as a young man, he saw through the illusions of his society. And young people, and indeed all people, must see through the shallow emptiness and nihilism of popular culture and aspire to what is greater. The great Imam Ibn Ata'illah, he says, if you want to know your standing with Allah, look where Allah stands with you. Where is Allah in our priorities? Is there anything that is akbar for us in our lives besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is there anything that we're treating as greater than Allah ta'ala in our life? If there is, we have to sacrifice it. We have to let it go. That's the only way to true freedom. Allahu Akbar. Allah is greater. Greater than our worries, our anxieties, our trauma, our laziness. He's greater than our circumstances. He's greater than our sins and our weaknesses. He's greater than our bad habits. He's greater than our vices. But we must break those idols of the heart for true freedom. May Allah grant us liberation. Ameen. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا بقدر عظمة ذاتك في كل وقت وحين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين عيدكم مبارك وكل عام وأنتم بخير تقبل الله منا ومنا طاعتكم.